Andrew Pierce, and this is the podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Tantania, South Australia, sovereignty never ceded. I am here for the Adelaide Film Festival, and I'm bringing you interviews for films that are screening at the film festival. And regular readers of The Curb will know that I have a particular soft spot for the work of Sally Aitken. Through her expansive filmography that tells stories that spans the globe, from David Stratton to Valerie Taylor to The Wiggles, and now to her latest film, Every Little Thing, a film about Terry, who is a wildlife carer in California who runs a rehab facility for hummingbirds. Well, Sally has managed to provide a generous, kind, and considerate perspective of the world and how we interact with it. Every Little Thing is a sonic and visual delight of a film that wonders the senses with cinematography that fully immerses us in the world of the hummingbird, all the while presenting the dedication and care that Terry Mazzia gives to these tiny, fragile creatures who flit about the world, acting as harmonious pollinators who enrich the ever-increasingly human-dominated nature that they live within. Look, I've seen plenty of films about animals being cared for, or about the communities that spring up in a fight for animal activism, and yet, I've never really seen a film like Every Little Thing. In the following interview, you'll hear me talk about why I feel this is a purely unique film, one that manages to present the role of animal carer in a deeply compassionate and understandable way. I'm in awe of the majesty on display here, and while I've always loved Sally's work, I feel that Every Little Thing is yet another grand step forward in her role as a humanistic filmmaker. Every Little Thing screens at the Adelaide Film Festival on Thursday the 24th of October, and again on the 2nd of November. Sally will be in attendance on the 24th of October, and will attend on a panel on documentary filmmaking on Friday the 25th of October. For more details and to purchase tickets, visit adelaidefilmfestival.org for all the details. And equally, if you want to find out more about what we do on The Curb, or to read or listen to interviews and articles and read reviews, then please head over to thecurb.com.au. We are a completely ad-free, independent website that lives on the support of listeners and readers just like yourself. If you can and want to support us, please visit patreon.com/thecurbau to help keep us going from as little as $1 a month. For now, here is a clip from the film Every Little Thing by Sally Aitken, followed by the discussion with Sally Aitken.
We're too quick to dismiss the powers that other creatures have. We have science, we have technology, we have literacy, but a hummingbird's brilliance is really, it surpasses language.
I flew in from Perth last night and I was sitting next to somebody, and then at the end of the flight they were like, so what are you in Adelaide for? What are you returning home and stuff? And I was like, coming for a film festival. And they're like, I don't watch films. And I said, that's fine. They're like, but what if I was going to watch one film, what would it be? And I said, well, probably Every Little Thing would be the thing that I would recommend seeing. And I started explaining what it was about, and they were like, oh, hummingbirds, well, that's my avenue. And they work as a vet. And then another person sitting in front of us was like, well, I'm a carer, and started, you know, going, oh, that sounds like exactly my kind of thing. And so this whole kind of little group of people started talking about your film and the nature of it. Yeah, but it has been such a powerful film to kind of sit with and experience. And I'm curious, like, for me as an audience member, I know what that feels like, but for you, touring the world and talking to people about it, what's that like?
Well, it's so lovely that it has resonated for you like that, and also for others. And just to sort of think about those people that you were connecting with on your way here, it's like a pollination, which isn't that dissimilar, obviously, to hummingbirds and their role in nature. But it has been absolutely beautiful. The responses to this film have been so affirming on so many different levels. And I think maybe the first one is that, as you probably know, the film is really a kind of homage to kindness and to empathy and to compassion. And clearly we do not do that enough, because the fact that so many people feel so moved when they've watched the film, or that they come away reflecting on those things, just tells me that we really do crave that. And it's obviously very human, that idea of connection and care and compassion for others, not just other humans, other sentient beings, be it a tiny little hummingbird, be it a lost cat, be it a stick insect or a snake. I sort of struggle with the snake thing a little bit, but I'm a New Zealander. But, you know, the idea that in this incredibly quiet, powerful way, that this film might be really changing people's hearts, that's an amazing thing. That's, you know, there aren't really words for that as a filmmaker, I don't think.
I agree. Like, so my history is being a vet nurse. So I was a vet nurse for 8 years, which involved a lot of wildlife caring and stuff like that. And, you know, I'd bring own home animals and stuff. And, you know, I remember there was a time where I had lizards and things like that at home, and having to get up in the middle of the night making sure they're all okay and stuff. There is an emotional and a physical toll that goes into caring for animals. And I think when I tell people about that, they always go, oh, that's got to be hard, that's got to be difficult. And there is an empathy and a sympathy there, but it's hard to kind of get them to realize the process that goes in place with it all. And your film does that so deeply, and so in a way which I'm like, oh great, you're putting into words in a way that I've never been able to do. I don't know, do you have like an animal caring history, like looking after animals? And
that's so interesting. And just to I'll answer the question in a sec, but what's you're just reminding me that, and I actually just forget in which avenue context it was, but it was in front of a cinema audience at one of the festivals. And there, you know, because there are Q&As at the end of them, and a woman said, thank you so much for putting it how it is. I loved, she said, that you didn't shy away from the fact that, you know, people can be pretty terrible humans and they can do kind of terrible things and then lie through their teeth about it. She said that we see that all the time, and she worked in wildlife. So anyway, she just felt like it was accurate to her experience. It's funny, you know, I come from New Zealand originally, and I sound like a cliche, but I had sheep growing up. But not because we lived on a farm, but because my godmother lived on a farm, actually. And my family are all in Auckland, and we had a little bit of land growing up. And so we had these orphaned lambs that would come through the house, like literally come through the house. You know, it was a great kind of party trick that the grown lamb come sheep would then, you know, come through the house. But and they were adorable. But you know, that was more like the relationship that you would have with a pet, I would say, rather than wildlife rescue. And then we had a half Siamese cat and a golden retriever dog. And so, you know, I certainly grew up with other creatures, but I think maybe more profoundly than that, I also grew up a lot in natural spaces. So on the ocean, my father has a sailboat, so we spent every summer sailing. We have a little cottage in the middle of the native bush, and my parents are very non-materialistic and imaginative. They're both quite creative people in their own right, although my dad was a businessman as well. He's an architect. He ran an architectural practice for years, very successful one. But they're not very indulgent people, shall we say. So we were, as kids, I'm the eldest of three, we were always outside and were playing. And so really, I guess it's like one of those luxury things to think about now, which is a wild childhood. And I'm not suggesting we ran feral, but I am suggesting that we were given freedom, and we were given opportunity to create our own magic and being bored was a good thing. And so I think about that sometimes now, acutely, because you've asked me now, but so my mind's going there right now. But, you know, I have three children myself, and they are really busy, highly scheduled kids, but we always do try and make space at the weekends and, you know, on holidays and things. And I'm sure all of that in the mix comes to bear on who you are as a person.
And yeah. Certainly as a creative individual. I mean, part of the reason why I'm asking is you kind of touch on it in the lead up to the answer, is that you present curiosity and care and empathy in your films, but specifically in this one, so well. And specifically talking about loss and death, right? The framing of the conversations around the fate of a hummingbird is so delicately but intimately presented in a way that I'm like, gosh, I've had so many of those conversations about magpies and rainbow lorikeets and stuff like that. I know all about that. But the way that you present it, it's not shying away from it. And I know that a lot of it has to do with the subject and the person that you're filming, but also it's you and deciding what to actually put there. So I'm curious if you can talk about that as a creative choice to not shy away off all those things.
Yeah, sure. It's so funny because I'm sure that a lot of these things come from instinct rather than analysis. And so when you're in the creating of something, you're not quite analyzing why or how you've made choices because you're just making those choices. But maybe I am a very curious person, and I like to think I'm not a particularly arrogant person either. I like to think that I move through this earth with curiosity, with the idea that I am not some superior being on this planet. Both of my interactions with each other, I absolutely believe that everybody has a story, and I believe that everybody has, you know, value to offer. I mean, I am not a Trump supporter, but, you know, there's something seriously wrong in his childhood, clearly. You know, like, I sort of like, I can find that within me, and, you know, I've got friends and they're like, you're crazy. But anyway, I also really hate the way I sound very sanctimonious right now. I think that maybe those things, and I really, really love metaphor. I think poetry and art and these representations of emotional truths, which are so often metaphoric, they allow other people receiving them to bring their own interpretations to them. It's absolutely not a didactic approach. So this is a long-winded answer, Andrew, but I think it's something to do with, I would much rather show and suggest and ask than tell and claim and own. Yeah.
That's a really beautiful answer. But it's also, it kind of amplifies the way that you present. There's a later on when some of the hummingbirds are being buried, and there's this conversation or this explanation about how brief their existence is, right? And how they're going to go into the soil, and then in a matter of time, they're going to disappear, almost as if they didn't exist. And that is such a powerful thing to hold on to.
Isn't it? And actually, as you may remember, the film is inspired by Terry's book. And I remember reading that in her book, that their bones are so light, they disappear within days. Like, I think it's something like 48 hours. And I just was so moved by that. So I think something like the burial of a hummingbird reminds us that all of our existences, it's like that great Carl Sagan quote, you know, all of our wars and all of our troubles and all of our loves and all of it all has happened in this one place, you know. And that's it. You know, we are nothing, and we're everything at the same time. And it's just such a profound idea. Those two seemingly contradictory ideas are just so completely profound. We're just, it's miraculous and it's meaningless. It's wondrous and it's brutal, you know. So I think maybe in this film, I have a friend who had received some pretty confronting diagnostics. And so I do wonder if that, you know, we were having a lot of conversations about that and grappling with the meaning of everything. So I don't know. What can I say? All of these things maybe work in some sort of strange sponge-like moment in when I'm saying, shall we try this, Tanya? I mean, I think the other thing to say is that Tanya Nehm, who's the editor, is such a sensitive visual thinker that these resonances in the film aren't just about the idea. They're obviously about the way that it's also executed. And I think the craft in the film is helpful in that regard, on every measure, the cinematography, the music, and the edit, all sort of working in this symphony.
I mean, I'm quite clear, I love the work that you do. I think it is, you know, what you're creating is phenomenal stuff. But I think that there is something that about every little thing that, again, it's just this, like, this next level, right? Which it's been fascinating to see you progress and you know, the stories you've been telling, because there's each of the subjects that you've had, you know, David, Val, the Wiggles even, and now Terry, as like, and even Dancing Spiders, I think, as well. It's like all of these, they're very generous people, right? And they're giving back to the world in ways that is really, really generous. And you know, they know what they can do and they're capable of. And they're able to go, all right, this is what I want to do. And you, as a storyteller, is equaling and meeting their generosity in a way that is like, all right, how can I honor their story in a way that
amplifies it?
And I
find
it's so unselfish.
Well, I really appreciate that as a takeout, because that's very meaningful. I mean, maybe I'm drawn to this idea that everyone has something to offer, and you know, David's more than his reviews, and Valerie's more than her incredible bombshell looks, and you know, whatever else. I mean, I'm thinking about the projects that I'm hoping to make in the, you know, not too distant future, and like, I don't think, you know, no one thinks that they repeat themselves, but now I'm thinking, maybe I just gravitate to the same things, because I have there's this amazing, amazing woman in the UK, Patricia Wiltshire, who is a forensic ecologist. I am sort of so interested in her. She solves crime using nature. She uses this spores and pollen traces at a crime scene, and she imagines the way that that crime took place on the most microscopic level. Anyway, so to me, the stories and the visual possibilities in this are great. And she's also like a kind of like Miss Marple character, you know, and it's so counterintuitive to think that this person is dealing in really kind of gruesome homicide. So that's just, you know, now I'm thinking about that project thinking, oh yeah, that's a Sally film, obviously.
Well, I mean, surely there's got to, like, when you find a story that resonates with you and you go, yes, this is what I want to spend a year, 2 years of my life both working on and then promoting and doing all of that, like, that's, it's a dedication, and it shows in the work. So, you know, there's a lot to be proud of, I know.
Well, it's such a pleasure when you have such a warm response. And you know, I the visual, it's still, you know, for me, if I see those birds on the big screen, I'm still drawn into their world. They're just incredible to look at.
Yeah, I can't wait to I can't wait to lose myself in it. It's going to be great. Let's quickly talk about Adelaide Film Festival and what it means to be able to screen it here. And I know you've got a panel as well talking about documentary filmmaking. So I'm curious what it means to be able to screen the film here, and then also what does that panel mean, the discussion about filmmaking in this format, mean to you?
Sure. Well, first of all, I think the Adelaide Film Festival is a destination film festival in Australia. The first film festival I came to, I think, was Adelaide for David Stratton's Australian Cinema. Film festival that I came to as a filmmaker with film playing. And, you know, that film would not have existed without the support, early support of the Adelaide Film Festival itself. So I feel very warm about the Adelaide Film Festival. And I think the program is excellent. And, you know, I have documentaries and drama films and, you know, in my head and on my slate. And so it's, I always like that mix of being in a place that's really honouring this craft and also being around other filmmakers and feeling that inspiration, contagious quality of a you know, gathering like a film festival. And the panel, I mean, Sandy George is an excellent interviewer, and so I can't wait to hear the questions that she's gonna like pull out of her hat. But you know, we often, I think, in documentary, it's a hard road to travel because it's not as beloved as drama, you know, in the sense of people not really often understanding that there is a high level of craft and consideration. You know, I often joke, I say, we elicit performance, we create scenes, we structure something incredibly dramatic, only we do it all with found materials and on about a tenth of the budget, you know. So I think documentaries are wildly imaginative, or can be, but of course it's such a big catch-all word. It really can be everything from a news and current affairs piece through to the most esoteric visual poem. So, you know, finding how you talk about this particular part of the film industry in a way that isn't generalist but isn't also reductive is quite hard. So I think the panel on Friday, you know, it's quite focused. It's about the cinematic art and intersection of documentary storytelling. Yeah, Sandy and I spoke briefly the other day, and I think it'll be a really, I think I'm going to learn a lot, basically, Andrew, is what I'm saying. With the other panelists and maybe just through the nature of the questioning, just making you think about your own work or style or choices.
Again, thanks for listening.